can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Okay, now I've checked the cadence bars, Don. It seemed to be recording. Can't tell until we actually put it across Podbean, iTunes, Spotify, whatever you listen to. I don't know. It seems to be working. And we're waiting for the doc to ring in. He's going to ring in later. But a couple of things that... Oh, plenty of things we didn't... now... So here's a question for you. I saw this on a billboard. Hello? Don?
Yeah, keep going.
Don?
I'm listening. I can do it. I'm like a lady. No. I can do two things at once. Listen to you and just read.
I wonder if you were a proper lady, you would get your microphone, you would get that thing that's sticking out.
Jeez, that's
you.
Hard.
You that are a fucking dickhead. Have a listen to this, everyone.
Oh, shit.
I go and make Don a cup of coffee and I put the lid over the top of the beaker, of the cardboard cup. And I said, Don, be very careful the lid is on properly. I don't want you to tip it down your shirt. And he's just taken a drink. And what do you reckon he's done? He's poured boiling coffee down his shirt. And as you can hear... He's gone out. He's either gone to put some cold water on the scalding or he's gone to, I don't know why he'd be washing his shirt. So I'm on my own doing this. I'll just push on while he's just left. Didn't say he was going, but he has. So what I was going to mention was that in America they've decided now that masks are completely useless and the planes... Here he comes, Don. I can quite easily fill in. I could do this on my own without you, but people like to have an input from you. Sit down. Sit down. Now, what did I tell you when I bought you the coffee? What did I tell you?
You didn't tell me it was that bloody hot.
What did I tell you when I bought you?
Well, you didn't tell me it was that hot. As soon as it went on my lip, it bloody burned my lip.
Don, now you make me annoyed shortly. I bought it in. I said, I'm not sure how hot it is. Did I say that? I said, I'm not sure how hot it is, but be careful when you drink it because I'm not sure that the lid's on properly. I did tell you it might be hot. I wasn't sure, and I did tell you about the lid, and you've poured it down your front. So, seriously, man. Now, speak, if you're a woman, you would get that microphone towards your mouth. Women can do that properly. You do it properly and speak into it. I don't think they worry about cadence bars when they get it in front of their mouth, but they just can do it properly by speaking directly into it. If you can follow the double entendre of all that. Now, Don, I saw this on a billboard.
Go.
Jesus, if you're not paying attention to this, you're fumbling through your little notes there, desperately waiting for me to stop speaking so you can start. Aren't you? This is why we get nowhere. You take no notice because you're just off on another planet. I was driving up the freeway and saw on a billboard, and I want to know, what do you do? Do you eat yogurt?
Yes, I do.
And you get them in tubs?
Yes, plastic containers.
But you get them in the little tubs. What is the first thing you do if you buy a little tub of, well, I don't know.
Yeah, yogurt.
When you take the lid off the tub,
you've got a sealing.
You haven't got a sealing at all.
Yeah, you've got a seal, and then you peel the seal back, and then you get to the actual yogurt.
You get the big tubs that you spoon out. I'm talking about when you go, when you get some yogurt, and you take the top off because it's got a plastic retainer around it, so. People can't pilfer it. So when you remove the plastic little cord that goes round the lid...
you mean in packs of four or six?
Yes.
I don't do that.
When you take the lid off, I've asked several people this and they give me the absolute same answer. When you take the lid off, what's the first thing you do?
Don't know.
You lick the yogurt on the lid. That's that you lick when you take the yogurt lid off. You lick the yogurt that has stuck to the lid, don't you? You always do that. Oh, you wouldn't do it, of course, I'd ask.
Because them. I do not buy that type of yogurt.
All right. So
yeah, go on.
I'm driving along the freeway and I see on the billboard and there's an advertisement for yogurt. It was such a good advertisement for yogurt. I don't know what the yogurt was. It could have been Yoplait. I don't know. And it said, lick the Lydia better. And I thought, what in the hell does that mean? Lick the Lydia better. So it says that's their advertising their yogurt, not saying, oh, it's got this in it and it's great and it's vanilla flavoured or straw. It just says, you will like licking the lid of our yogurt better than all the other yogurts. Meaning it's just... You don't get that?
I do get it, and it's just reminding of...
That's diverse advertising. It got my attention, in fact, except I don't know, remember what the yogurt was, but it said, lick the Lydia better with our yogurt. Well, it might have been Yoplait. I can't remember. What's another Yoplait? What's another yogurt? Do you know?
Greek style, I buy.
What's
the Greek
it called?
I get the Greek style
it's
yogurt.
It's called Greek style.
Yes, it's low in sugar.
So that's the name of it. His brand name is Greek style. Is
yeah.
it?
Yeah, I'm sure
bullshit.
It is. Bullshit. I know what I get, so I'm not worried. Who cares?
As long as the
sugar content is low, I don't care because it can get up very high in those yogurts, the sugar content.
So lick the Lydia better with our
yogurt.
Listen,
talking about sugar, it's very fattening. Have you ever sat down and... I sat down last week and watched people walk by... We are a very obese society, aren't we?
Yeah, we cover this every other week.
Do we?
Yep.
I cannot get over
you get into fat shaming people.
Fat some people are.
And that's why they are now trying to have banned sugar, soft drinks with sugar in them and, you know, all the people who tell you how to live your life. Why do you have to tell people not to buy sugar-laden soft drinks? Why can't the parents tell their kids not to drink them? Everything is saturated with sugar or salt or anything. So that was, I sort of licked the Lydia better, Don. I don't know what it was. Now, have a listen to this. Now, this is where we're headed, Don. First of all, there's companies out there now advocating that people don't trade with companies that use fossil fuels to create their products. Can you believe that? This is where we're headed. And if you want the extension of that is, listen to this. Listen to this. A male transgender murderer, so it was a man who transgendered into being a woman, but he'd murdered someone, I presume, when he was a man, was sent to a woman's prison because he said he was a woman now, got a woman pregnant, where the woman he got pregnant's pronouns were they and their. So we've got a man pretending to be a woman making someone who's pretending to be a bloke pregnant. And you wonder why people aren't exploiting the situation. How far can this go before people say, please pretend you want to be anything you like, but do anything you like. We don't care. We don't care. But stop giving us these ridiculous excuses why you should be transferred in prisons because you've transgendered, why you can enter women's sport because you're a male. And if I don't know if the Olympic Committee are going to do this, but if you've got two X chromosomes and you've got an XY chromosome, that differentiates between either you're a male or a female, and that's it. And I'm not sure what is it. Two X chromosomes denote you're a man. Well, if it is, they're the only people that can compete in men's sport. And if you've got an XY chromosome, you're the only people that can compete in women's sport. I don't know why. How would that not solve the dilemma? Now, here's another thing, Don. Do you think this is disrespectful? I think it's clever. A bloke went into the toilets at a venue, an upmarket venue, or what are you looking at? Avant-garde venue. Are you looking to see what time it is?
No, I'm just looking at the ruck shot of you jumping up at Collingwood Victoria Park, which is just behind you.
You're looking at a photo of me jumping up in a ruck contest while I'm mentioning something here. So when I say to you, do you think that's clever? You'll say, what's clever? I wasn't listening. In quite an avant-garde venue that this person went to, he went to go to the toilets. And, you know, instead of having the symbol of a woman, you know, a traditional woman, or a traditional man, so you know which cubicle to go into, although now you go into unisex ones, or instead of just having male or female, he went in and there was a picture of Bruce Jenner on one door when Bruce Jenner was an Olympic athlete, you know, and they had a picture of him standing on the dais. And then on the other door, they had a picture of Caitlyn Jenner when Bruce had transitioned into being a woman. And so it was a picture of Bruce when he was Bruce on the male, I presume, male, that's the male door, and a picture of Caitlyn on the other door. Don't you think that's clever? Well, who would have thought of that? Do you think that's disrespectful? Of course it's not, because he says he was Bruce in another life. Like, we're not allowed to say anyone else was someone in another life. Are we allowed to say the coach of North Melbourne was someone in another life? Dead naming him?
Dean Laidley.
Dean Laidley. Are you allowed to say he's Danny now?
Yeah, no.
Danielle, he goes, that person goes under. But if you say, oh, he used to be called Dean, people say, oh, you're dead naming him. Why do we cop that stuff? It's not disrespectful. It's just saying this man has transitioned and he used to be this and now he's this. So I like the one about the male transgender murderer who got the person who's pretending he's not a woman pregnant. That is as good as it gets, don't you think? So in the States now, America, the airlines were the last bastion where the government insisted people wear masks on aeroplanes. And the aeroplane executive said, there is no better air filtration system in the world than the air that gets filtrated in an aeroplane. So they said, the circulatory air filtration of an aeroplane, this is what they claim is second to none, even better than in hospitals. So they have now finally said that you don't have to wear a mask on an aeroplane. Everyone's rejoicing, which means it has been an absolute lie. It's been an absolute lie for the last 2 years about the masks, and this is why this government here is reprehensible.
Victoria or federal?
Here in Victoria, went through the quarantine bullshit of killing 900 people while the other states had a handful of deaths between them. Why the vaccinations and the boosters and the lockdowns and the schools and putting masks on kids. That is why this, honestly, we have been, there's 9,000 cases a day, and yet we did this last week, 400,000 people go to the football's packed out, and yet we were told to isolate and self-distance. It's bullshit, and we've been nobbled by people just wanting power and to think they pull their small
He's pulled his head in too. The
this is the government
Victoria,
we're talking about.
Daniel Andrews has pulled his head in. I think someone's got to him because he was very objectionable last year in the height of COVID.
The disgrace of this police force, we're not against the police, but in this instance we are, the disgrace of the hierarchy of this police force is not the quarantine bungle that the government have done. It's not the what it is. This is not the police. The police are responsible for strong arming people without masks and telling them to self distance and all that crap. They just become tools of the government. But the final one, Don, is, and it keeps going, and they've washed their hands of it, I've got a feeling, is a disgrace. And people think we won't keep mentioning it and because it'll go away, is a disgrace of the police, Mr. Shane Patton, being asked to investigate the iCook Foods absolute disgrace and rot. And I've got a feeling he said there's no case to answer. I'm not sure if I should say why, because we don't want to run the risk of... but if he has wiped his hands of the I Cook Food disgrace...
Well, you said there's no case to answer.
Well, that is about corruption, not him so necessarily. That is corruption on several different levels. It came from the federal government, from Anal in the first place, about the...
well, he put money in to set it up...
That's right. That's
COVID. Which you and the state government, I think Daniel Andrews
that's
was
right.
involved.
So it came from Anal. Then it went to this Victorian government. Mm. Then it went to the local government.
That was community
at Dandenong. That's right. And for Shane Patton to say there's no case to answer, there couldn't be a more blatant case to answer than fraud on the highest level. What?
His position is political. He's appointed by he has a contract.
I am saying that if Shane Patton wants some credibility in his job and fear no one, fear no favour, whatever that's called, he should immediately instigate that. It'd be worth doing another hour on I Cook Foods. Just go right through it again, and so people in the eventually say, how does this go on? If you can do it to I Cook Foods, why can't you do it to anyone? You could do it to any business that you just wanted to, and this is government ineptitude and control on a staggering level, Don. So there we are. We've done that. Now, anything, Don, over there?
Well, I was watching last night the news, and I know that Ash Barty can play golf. With a ball or a bat, I think she's the most coordinated athlete I have seen. Now, the thing is right up my...
That's better.
Thank you.
Well, you've drifted away
well,
there. No, fuck. You're good now?
Oh, jeez. Anyway, let's get back to Ash Barty. I'll
do hand signals so I don't interrupt people or you. I'll do hand signals when you're not in front of the microphone. I'll do that, right? So I won't have to interrupt you and keep mentioning it and you get annoyed. Go ahead.
Ash Barty. I wonder whether... How's that, Johnny? No hands? Nothing?
I said I'll indicate with hand signals.
Oh, I see.
Have you seen any hand signals except that one, the middle finger I've given you? Go on.
A better coordinated athlete over different sports. Oh, here we go. Here am I.
Oh,
I'm trying.
Fuck. Oh, my God. Roadcaster. When the hell are we? Can you hear me? Oh, fuck. Can you hear me? Oh, no. Doc, can you hear me? Oh, Doc, we're grappling with the earphones now. Just a minute, mate, please. Oh, fuck, hang on. Speaker, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Can you hear him, Doc?
No.
You can't? Why can't you?
He's got hearing.
Well, the last time you did... Go and speak, Doc. Doc? Speak.
Yes, hello.
The last time you did this, it was your end. I've got you on speakerphone here, and I've got us all. I haven't got us. You can speak again.
1-2-1-2-1-2.
Yeah, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear.
You're not coming down this end. You're not coming through for some reason. Now, why is that?
I don't know, mate. Oh, I'm here. It's okay. Fuck. Let's keep our cool.
No, well,
let's
you.
Not lose the plot.
Last time it was you.
Yeah, no, but I'm not convinced that it was. I've got it turned up right to the max here at this end, and I think it's a Melbourne-based issue.
Bullshit. I've got it. Can you hear him, Don?
Yes. No, he sounds as if he's in the toilet.
Come on, Doc.
Do you want me to ring back in?
No, yep. You've done this.
No.
It's a technical problem from Johnny's
it's
side of things.
It's not a fucking technical problem, Don. I'll do it every time. Ring in again, please, Doc.
Okay, bye.
Oh, fuck, Jesus, I tell you what, Don. One day, mate. Bluetooth, are we on? Where the fucking Bluetooth? Roadcaster. It's connected. Now, when he rings, here he goes. Now, we're answering the phone now, and we're going to answering. We're answering the phone. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Don't bless
him. No, hang on. I answered the phone then, all right? And the doc's ringing, and we've got him on... Oh, Jesus. I just answered the phone, and why can't I hear you? I can't get it. I can't understand why it's not on speakerphone. Just a minute. Please ring back once more. Give us one more go, please. Please just hang up. Please, sorry. Oh, fuck. Why didn't it come up? When he rang, I should answer.
You need Rod Law. This never happened.
Oh, here we go. Now I'm answering the phone. I've got it on speaker. Here we go. Now I've got it on speaker, phone, and can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Well, I can hear you, yes, but it's not usually as clear. Just speak again, Doc.
1-2-1-2-1-2-1-2.
Oh, I don't reckon that's very loud.
Well, why don't I, just to check whether it's my phone, I'm going to try, why don't we hang up and I'll ring you on the mobile.
Yep.
So we know whether it's my end or your end.
Yep, I'm sure it's your, I'm sure.
You don't need to, have you already started the podcast? Is this part of the podcast?
Yep, we're waiting for you to ring in. Yep.
Hang up, I'll ring you.
Oh,
again.
No, I can hear you.
Oh, fuck. It's you.
No.
It was you.
Doc. Doc. Yeah. Speak.
Can you hear me?
Yes, that's it. It's probably us. No. I can hear you loud and clear.
It's not us. Don't use...
Well, what a relief.
Oh,
what a wonderful...
We've signalled that you'd be on, and people have just become so... nervous that you're not going to be on, and they've gone all to Twitter. Well, it's great to hear from you. Doc, how are you?
Can you hear me? Don, can you hear me, Doc?
Now, yes, I can, Doc. Now, listen, you've made
headlines. Don.
You've made headlines.
Can I just ask you a question, please, Don? Was this a problem on my phone line at my end, or was it your problem?
No, he used the plural us. It should have been the singular me.
Yeah, Don's got warts on his ass from sitting on it doing nothing. I do the whole lot, and it was my fault that time, Doc.
No, Doc, well, that's okay. Look, we're not here, pointing the finger or laying the blame at Sam Newman, but it was Sam Newman's fault. That's fine.
No, Doc, please, I've conceded that. Thank you.
Mm. And how are we, boys? Are we good?
Yeah, good. Now, you've been making headlines down in Melbourne. What have you done? I just read a quick headline, Fordham, dot, 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 dot. Have you opened your mouth or criticised somebody recently?
Mate, I do that every day because I host a breakfast radio program on 2GB, and I'm very happy to say that a lot of the You Can't Be Serious podcast listeners have come and found my radio show as a result of listening to this podcast, so I really thank them for tuning in, because now I get these messages on the text line saying, yeah, good call, Doc. Nice comment, Doc. Good morning, Doc. And so whenever they say Doc, I know, well, these are Sam Newman, Don Scott podcast listeners. So, look, I don't know what this particular story was about, but it may have had something to do with Catherine Deeves, who's this Liberal candidate for the upcoming
election. Oh, it is. It was.
Well, Don, why didn't you tell him that, Don? How can he know what fucking subject?
Well, I read the papers. I flick through the headlines.
Well, tell him you were speaking about Catherine Deeves.
I said
I... Just go ahead, Doc, please.
Look, yeah, the story is Catherine Deeves has been fighting a campaign for a number of years that I've been very strong on, which is the idea of having a level playing field when you're playing sports, so that when you've got a women's-only sport, it's not for people who were born a man. It's a pretty simple argument. But because she made a couple of inflammatory comments over the years, people have gone through a Twitter account, they've lifted them out, and then a Liberal MP, a Liberal Minister, Liberal Treasurer of New South Wales, Matt Keane, is saying she should be disendorsed. Well, I had him on radio this morning for about 20 minutes, and it was a ding-dong battle back and forth. We really ripped in and had a fair crack at one another, because I just can't believe in this day and age that you've got people who have made mistakes in their own lives, and boy, I know I certainly have, But I've been given a second chance. Matt Keane's been given a second chance when he's caught up in controversy. But, you know, at the whiff of controversy for Catherine Deaves, he goes after and says we need to cancel her. And it's just another case of cancel culture coming to the fore. And no one actually pays any attention to the substantial argument that she's made, which is, look, it's safer for girls playing physical contact sport if they're playing against girls to know that they are playing against girls as opposed to playing against someone who's born a male. And we've also seen recently at the college swimming championships in America, every freestyle race was won by a transgender swimmer. So, you know, I've got no judgment calls to make about anyone who's transgender, who's got some of those issues going on in their life. I feel a lot of sympathy for them. But we've got to have a fair setup when it comes to sport, and I think most Aussies recognise that.
So, Doc, I'm not sure if I mentioned this to you. No, I wouldn't have mentioned it to you last week, because the Grand Prix, I met James Tonkin at the Grand Prix, who's on the Olympic Committee to on the Universal Olympic Board, or whatever it's called, the overseas. Yep.
And I heard you talking about this on last week's podcast.
Yes, and yeah. I'm not sure if he wanted me to say this, so he'll probably say, what are you saying that for? But he thinks that probably the Olympic, oh, there's a thing up before the Olympic Committee to so that this doesn't manifest itself into a bun fight, that if you have if you have an XX chromosome, you are, if that denotes you're a male, that you're a male, and if you have an XY chromosome, you are a female, and that'll be the test, the litmus test for entry into competition in the athletics for the Olympics. How sensible could that be?
Well, you know, the MP, Zali Steggall, who's the former Olympic skier, she currently holds the seat of Warringah, which was Tony Abbott's old seat. And Catherine Deaves, the lady who started Save Women's Sport, who I've just been referring to, she's taking on Zali Steggall, and Zali Steggall thinks it's transphobic to raise these issues. But interestingly, Sam and Don, when someone said to Zali Steggall, now, when you won your bronze medal at the Winter Olympics in skiing, would you have been happy to compete against someone born a male? She wouldn't answer that question.
Yes.
And you know what? There's a number of people who are transgender identities who also believe it's an unfair playing field, including
Caitlyn Jenner,
who says it just isn't fair. We've got to protect women and girls. You've got a pro golfer, Meanne Bagger, who says when you have men who are stronger, taller and faster, there needs to be division. You've got another transgender identity who's not a sports person. Well, in fact, she was not a bad cricketer back in the day. Catherine McGregor, she says trans women should not be involved at the elite level. And I want to stress again, you know, I've met transgender people. I've had a discussion with transgender people about their life, their struggles, their identity. I would gladly compete in sport against any of them, socially, have a game, do whatever. But I'm not an elite sports person. I don't wake up at 3 o'clock every morning to go to the swimming pool to try and win a gold medal.
Dog, if you had any transgender folk over to meet the bride, over for a barbecue at the house or anything over Christmas, or would you like to just put an open invite now over for any transgender people to come and meet the bride?
I'll tell you what, Sam.
She'd rather meet them than us.
All people of all sexual persuasions are welcome at
our
house.
And race.
Religion. Dog and everything in between. Don, you'd be the same. Is that right? You welcome all people.
Get a couple of transgender Muslim activists who are into climate change. See if how the bride will go with them.
You know what, Sam? I love sitting down with people. One of my great joys in life is sitting down with people who are different to me. That's why I've got Muslim friends. That's why I've got gay friends. That's why I've got bisexual friends. I've got friends from all corners of
us.
The globe. And you lunatics who are part of this wonderful podcast. Don, I haven't heard Don's voice in a few minutes, which worries me.
Don's dismantling a pen at the minute. He's just ripped the top off and has taken the guts out of a pen, which he does every other week. Go on, Don, are you listening?
I'm just into Masuda ephedrine.
I'm keen to know, Don. Well, hang on a moment. What's happening? You're on the gear, are you?
Yes, I'm on Codral day and night tablets, or what are they, flu tablets. And I've just read the back of it, and they've got pseudoephedrine in them.
This is how we fly, Doc. We go onto topics
so
and Don drifts on to complete bullshit.
But do you guys know, you know, with the Codral cold and flu, you get the lame version these days over the counter at the chemist, and you need a prescription. If it's got codeine in it or whatever it is, you've got to go and get a prescription for it. Now, I used to love nothing more than when you had a flu and you could feel it coming on, you go and get those Codral day and night. You got the real good stuff in there that knocks you out. You recover the next day. But these days, you've got to go and get a script.
No. If you get on well with the chemist, it's behind the counter.
Oh, Don.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yes.
So you're well up on prescription drugs, Doc? You're just shoveling them in as we speak?
Mate, I think they're fantastic prescription drugs.
Endone? Oxycontin?
Yeah, well, I've had Endone before. Yeah, I've had Endone. I mean, when you've got pain and you need that pain to go away.
What pain are you in?
A magic pill. I remember once I had problems with my teeth, right? And it was a weekend. And I was like, oh, my God, I've got this wisdom tooth issue or whatever. And my brother said to me, he goes, here, take one of these. And I said, what's that? And he said, oh, I got it when I had a bung leg, right? And I said, oh, is that going to work? He goes, mate, wait till you take it. And I was off with the fairies. The pain went away. Yeah. But that's what it's all about. I mean,
what about a broken heart, doctor? What prescription would you say for a broken heart?
You've got to fall in love all over again, Don. That's the only answer.
Well, that rules Don out because he's only living with a couple of horses down the coast at the minute. And I think,
mate, I could find you, Don, if you gave me the job of finding you.
Get on to Bumble.
Mate, I wouldn't even need to. I'd get him live on the radio show on 2GB, and I'd say, this is one of the strangest cats I've ever come across in my life.
Yeah.
And if you want to be entertained until the day you die and constantly be wondering, what the hell is this bloke talking about?
And he's physically still able? He's physically still capable of satisfying all and sundry, man, woman or beast? He is. He tells me he's got injections and potions and lotions and tablets, and he can get quite a head of steam up when he's put to it.
Well, look, because this is an adult only podcast, let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
I've never experimented with one of those little blue pills. I've never gone down that path, but I know a lot of blokes who have, even when they haven't necessarily needed to.
Yeah.
Now, let's have a bit of a truth session here for a moment. Have you tried the little blue pill, Sam?
Mate, I shovel them in like they're Smarties. Christ, I can't get enough of them.
Now, do you know that those little blue pills, Viagra and whatever it's called, they are a heart tablet. They are for helping the heart pump blood around the body.
They're heart tablets for helping the heart pump blood into the end of your cock.
That is a side effect, and they found out when they were testing them that you could get an erection. Oh, well, it helped you with your erection, but you had to be stimulated in the first
Don and
place.
I, Doc, Don and I have had our prostates out, and I don't know if you know any people with your prostate out there, but after that, the shooting game is all over. Your libido and your sex drive drops off so much so that if you got a hammer and smacked it on the end, it wouldn't even register on the Richter scale. So,
if it knocked back your sex drive, it would have brought it down to rather normal levels then.
Beautifully worked. What extraordinary material you've come with today,
I don't think Don answered the question. Don,
no, go on.
There's no judgment here because most of the male population by now would have tried the little blue pill.
Yep.
Have you tried one, Don?
Yeah,
and it's no good. Tell him what you do. Tell him what you do to get a hard on. Go on.
Excuse me.
Tell the doc what you do to get an erection, Don.
Can we have just some standards, just a whiff of standards?
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't think hard-on was too bad. But, Don, to get an erection, tell the doctor, he's your pseudo-analyst, psychoanalyst, tell the doctor what you do to get an erection.
Well, first of all, you've got to find a partner that sexually excites you.
Yes, that's a given.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go from there, doctor.
Tell him about the stuff that you – tell me about the injections, Don.
Well, you can have the injections.
There
are many other things that you can have as well. You can have a vacuum pump. You can have an insertion. You can have a rubber band.
So, Doc, Let me.
Now, these are things you can look forward to, Doc. You're only a young man at this stage, but you may have to fire up when you're 70.
Let me paint the scenario, Doc. You get onto a man, woman or beast and you get her out to the car or him or whoever it is, and just before you go to engage in any sort of sexual, you say, just a minute, I'm going to put a pump on the end of my dick and I've got an injection here. Just let me inject.
And the rubber band and also the vacuum pump, which is inserted. Right.
Pretty hard to insert anything with all that crap on your dick. And the Don thinks this is romantic, but you've got to be in love with the person before you do it, apparently Don says.
Yeah, and I know you're just using humour when you suggest man, woman or beast, Sam. Yes. So I'll let you off the hook there because I know that is just your own way of expressing some humour. But
that's for anyone.
Can I tell you, when you're talking about the vacuum pump, I'll never get more to my diet the vacuum cleaner the same ever again.
Oh, did that distort then?
Yes.
Can you hear that, Doc?
No, I was just talking to this end of the United States.
What has?
You know what it might be?
Oh. It might be the Australian Podcasting Authority listening to this going, I think they've just got to jump the shark, these folks.
Have a listen to this phone. Now, that is distorting our end. Are we distorting to you?
No.
Now you're right.
Sound like a robot all of a sudden.
Yes. Yeah, it's Ocot.
Yes, you did sound like a robot.
It's okay now, Doc. I'll let you know when your robot style coming through again.
All right. Now, listen, I've just noticed something.
Do you think somebody's listening into this conversation?
Shut up, Don, please. Go ahead, Doc.
I've noticed, Sam, you are speaking over Don.
Am I?
A lot.
And I'm going to ask you to please respect the fact that you're in the company of a very, very well-regarded man who's got some interesting things to say. And I think sometimes when Don
gets about three lines into a sentence, I think you're Don Scotting Don Scott.
Because Don used to do this to you. When you'd start saying something, you just jump over the top with some inane comment. I think you're now doing it to Don. I think when Don speaks, we may need a talking stick. So you just pass the stick back and forth. Everyone's aware who's talking at the time.
I see. So like they do on the cricket, they just put the microphone up to their face and then pull it away.
So can you just be aware that when Don's talking, there are millions of people out there on the World Wide Web who want to hear what this man has got to say.
I'll take that on advisement, Doc, seeing as you are his intellectual coach and you're training me to do this properly. I will certainly take that on advisement, Don. I'll take that as a given. Now, Doc, I was going to ask you, is it true we've had a... did Don clear up about how he gets an erection? Did we clear that up?
We well and truly hit that nail on the head.
Right, yeah, so to speak, hit it on the head. So is it true we had a fantastically successful event down here last week called the Australian Grand Prix, except for the car race, of course, which is a given. That is never exciting because no one ever races one another. But a huge fillip for this state, 400,000 went to it over 4 days. Is it true that you're now, your government, your where you live, are trying to pinch it from us?
No, it's not true. What we do is we pretend every year or so that we're going to be, doing our best to pinch the Grand Prix, but it's a way of trying to make people in New South Wales feel better about themselves because
you've got it and we don't have it. So there's
always a politician who will come out and say, well, we're now in negotiations to get it, but mate, don't take that seriously. It's yours for life. You own it. You deserve it. And you put on such a great show.
Well, you're trying to take away or your man from the rugby league and the racing, Valandis, is trying to take away the Melbourne Cup, the importance of Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, he's trying to buy it.
Well, we've already done that. I mean, racing in New South Wales has gone through the roof under the leadership of Peter Valandis, who also runs rugby league.
But if you can buy anything, Doc, it's integrity and morals, really.
Yeah, but
what he's done is he's put up
the prize money for the championships and the Everest. He's put up major prize money. And even just recently, he ran an initiative where we had major prize money for people from regional areas who all came in for what was effectively a country race with huge money on the line. So he's someone who's not just focused on the big end of town. And Peter Valandis is the best sports administrator in the country. I know you've just lost your own recently. So what's the feedback there on Gil McLaughlin and who's going to step into his shoes?
Well, I hope a football person stands in or gets a job. And there's two that I'd come to mind for me. And they're both chief executives of the various football clubs, and that is one, Brendan Gale, and two, Brian Cook. One is at Richmond and the other is at Carlton.
But of course...
And I'd go for Brian Cook.
They've overlooked the most qualified and eminent man to do it. And I say man, and that's Eddie Maguire. If he wanted to do it, he should be a shoo-in.
Well, have you heard that Shane Crawford has put up his hand?
What, to be the whiteboard? to do what?
Crawford wants to run the AFL.
Well, he's illiterate.
No, he's not. He's a very, very impressive bloke.
He is a very lovely... He's a lovely...
All that money for charity over the years when he was, you know, running around things and cycling around things.
Could I just apologise, Doc? Every now and again you become distorted. Most of the time you are clear down our end, and sometimes you go into this robot voice. So before people start to get on the social media and say, the Doc was distorted, something's going on. Of the time it's okay, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's because I'm on the mobile, because when I tried to ring him...
Now it's... That's right.
I think Eddie Maguire would be a standout boss of the AFL. I think he's a genius when it comes to being able to raise people, connect people. And yes, Eddie is brilliant at looking after...
He might want to do it.
And if you don't know how to do that, then you don't know how to look after others. But he's also... Look, from my own experience, when Eddie came to Sydney briefly and he was my boss at Channel 9, I'd never had more support in my life from someone who was a major boss, apart from maybe David Gingell when he ran Channel 9.
Why didn't it work out for Eddie in Channel 9 up in Sydney?
Because the Sydney elite rounded him up.
Yeah, because not everyone sucked up to him as much as I did, but I went my way too, so I was well looked after.
You didn't suck up to him.
Oh, no, look, he was great to deal with. And I think, if you had to go with the person who you knew was going business to tick off all of the things you need to do in a job like that, as far as understanding the way government works, being able to negotiate people, pick up the phone and ring anyone you want, it'd have to be Eddie Maguire.
Can I ask you I just want to ask you a question. We've been doing this week after week, and you might have noticed this. I want your opinion on it. And this is not against the person per se, but we have a woman who camps on our most prestigious boulevard called Beaconsfield Parade. Why would the council, who say they can't do anything about it, allow this person to camp, set up house on the most prestigious boulevard? And my point was that if everyone wanted to do that, if 50, 100 people wanted to camp...
They don't all want to do it. She's doing it. And you know what? When I hear you two going on about this poor woman, do you know what I think every single time? I think to myself, have either of them gone up to her and said hello?
Yes, I have. I have.
Now,
hang on. I want to hear from Don. What happened when you went and had a conversation?
She was rude. I asked her if she wanted anything. I was concerned because an ambulance had come the previous week and taken her away. But when I got there, there were other people bringing food and whatever else. She's not backward in coming forward. The residents now... starting to become a little more vocal, and I've got friends who live there and directly opposite. And as I said, she's not backward in coming forward. She will ask you for the mobile phone. She will ring her mother, as one resident gave it to her.
And who bought money down for it.
And she wanted, the mother offered her $250. She said, that's not enough. She wanted more money put in her bank account. So this lady is not backward in coming forward.
So, Doc,
she sounds like my kind of person. I really like the sound of her. I'd love to hear her on the podcast at some stage.
That's how this started. I said a friend of mine said she'd go down and ask her would she like to come and be interviewed by us. And I said, well, wait for her to tell you to fuck off before you ask her too many questions. We would love to interview her. And I'm going to say again, Doc, I'm staggered at your opinion, which is your opinion, and that can never be wrong because it's only an opinion. But I'm staggered at you. If 50 people, you say they don't, but if people thought, oh, well, we'll come from out of town and we're homeless and we'll go and set up camp on the beach in the summer on Beaconsfield Parade, and you have a homeless community sets up there, why doesn't the council say, madam, can we help you in some other capacity, but you cannot hang your washing up here, you cannot lie here all night and all day as a tourist attraction? It is a disgrace.
Well, if 50 people were camping on a beach somewhere or a street corner, then it would have moved on and cleaned up. But there's not. There's one person. I would suggest that the council
That's so illogical.
Tried to offer her. No, well, it's called fact. You're dealing in a hypothetical. I'm dealing in a fact. The fact is there's one lady there at the moment. Now, I haven't seen it, so I'm at a disadvantage in being able to work out exactly what's going on. But every time you guys talk about her, I feel sorry for her.
Well, we feel sorry for her. I keep saying, the council should go and say to her, madam, can we assist you in other accommodation somewhere? This is not acceptable. This is just...
Sam, why don't you give her access to one of your many rental properties in your property portfolio?
Well, Doc, if that would satisfy her, you'd never know. I might just try and work something out with her and the council. But I might she could move in with me, and I'm not sure if she can cook or anything, but
she can iron shirts.
She could smoke out in the balcony if she wished. She's getting enough cigarettes at $60 a pack. She's smoking every other day there. Seriously.
Oh boy. Oh, you know, some people, and only some people say, mate, why do you talk to these lunatics? I'll tell you why. Boy, you boys make me laugh. You really do. You're absolute national treasures. And I just love being able to hear what you guys think about the world. We don't have to agree on everything, but the more you talk about it, the more the listeners of this podcast will be intrigued to hear from her. And I think at some point you could even just go with your mobile phone.
She'd smash you in the head.
No, she'll want it, no.
Yeah, she won't do that.
You just hit the voice memos function and you just record an interview.
And then we'll have the do-gooders and the police saying, Dan, you're harassing her and you're crowding into a space and all that sort of shit.
She was sleeping topless last night, Doc.
Oh, Doc, that's what Don said. She didn't have she had the breastles out, Don said. Christ. So you reckon they're showing home movies on her underpants when they're held up and like she's a big woman, apparently.
Well, look, I mean, I don't know the situation, I haven't seen her, but I'm intrigued by her. And, you know, having lived in areas in Sydney before where you've got a lot of homeless people and having done a little bit of volunteering at a few homeless charities as well, what's interesting?
I'm glad you met
a lot of people who are homeless choose to be homeless. Not all of them, but some of them do.
That's fair enough.
On some occasions, I've said to some of these guys, look, I can help get you into somewhere, and they say, I don't want to. They like sleeping rough. They like being cut off from society.
So that's fair enough, Doc. So you've just hit it on the head. You've got plenty of homeless people up there. If people gravitated down to the main boulevard at Bondi during the crack summer period and people were stepping over people's feces and drugs and bloody furniture and sleeping bags, would you not say, this is a disgrace. This is the most tourist-oriented place in the world, one of them, or in Australia anyhow. Why do we have to put up with homeless people commandeering and manipulating commandeering the most prestigious part of our city in the summer? Let's see if we can find some alternative accommodation for them, surely, Doc.
But what do you do when you say to the person, look, we're going to find you accommodation, and they say, no, I don't want it?
Well, you say that you're breaking the law. There's a health hazard here. You cannot just lie here. This is a precinct run by a council, and the council bylaws are that you can't camp. There must be some rule that they says, no, we don't mind if you want to sleep here. You can't. What happened to you? People pay rates and taxes and body corporates to live people, and if you don't want to do that, either by choice or design or for necessity, you must be cognizant of the fact that the council will now find you other facilities, but not here.
And so eventually, if she says no, what, you arrest her and lock her up in a jail somewhere?
That's a very good question, Doc. I'm not sure, but surely surely you can't go on breaking the law if the law has been broken without some consequences. That's my point, and I'm not against the woman, please. It's against the eyesore that it is.
What's her name?
I've got no idea. No one can get
you
close.
You don't know her name?
No, I don't know her name.
Well, you need to get to know her more.
Don has tried. A friend of mine went down and tried to speak to her. People try and speak to her. She'll accept food and
cigarettes
and clothing and cigarettes.
And the wanting to use your mobile yeah. phone as well.
But I don't know if anyone knows her name. And people say you're having a go at her. We're not having a go at her. We're having a go at the people who just turn a blind eye to it.
Get Eddie McGuire to fix it.
Oh, well, if I was the mayor of what's
St Kilda,
which you should be,
of course I should be. If I was the mayor of St Kilda, I would go down with an official delegation, or I'd go down myself and I'd say, "Madam, I am the mayor of St Kilda. We're going to ask you why you're here, and can we assist you? And you cannot stay here any longer." And she'll say, "Oh, bullshit! I'm not breaking a law. We can find a law you're breaking, madam. And besides all that, we're not having a go. We'll try and improve your lot in life." And if she says, thanks, I'm enjoying the summer on the beach here. And I say, well, unfortunately, you can't set a precedent by any other people wanting to do this.
Don, can I just ask you something? Because Sam's just mentioned the prospect of him becoming a mayor. I do recall a time when Sam was floating the idea of running as Lord Mayor of Melbourne. Yes. Can you just talk me through what happened with that campaign, please, Don?
No, I don't know. But part of his platform was to look after the homeless, find a warehouse and house them. I think they're Les Twentyman and...
Brendan Nottle. And
were
Bob Maguire, who run the three big agencies. Well, were they to run the three big agencies? And I said we would go to the state government and we'd commandeer a disused warehouse which was in the CBD, and we'd turn it into a bona fide homeless refuge that you had to qualify to be in, and there'd be a no zero tolerance policy of sleeping in the doorways in the central business district shops and alcoves outside McDonald's. There'd be a zero tolerance policy, but we'd take you away and we'd give you some accommodation.
And what about those poor kids who just wanted to skateboard outside your building?
Doc, I know you only speak seriously. Another good point. My point about that was that they would come down and jump on all the infrastructure, chip all the stonework, break all the seats, and the boards would shoot out from all the stairs with people walking by. I've seen boards shoot out from underneath the riders' feet, hit prams, hit dogs, nearly cannon into people. And I said, mate... Can't, and the signs up there saying no skateboarding. I said, go away, go and do it outside your house, or go and do it where there's a skateboard specifically parked, set up. No, they want the confrontation. They want their name in the paper. They become Andy Warhols. I become a villain. I become the old grouch. No one's game to actually say to them, fuck off. This is not where you live, mate. You're ruining everything.
Well, Don, I just can't work out if Sam's got such a strong platform. What went wrong there in his mission
I'll
to become
tell you.
Mayor?
I will tell you.
I suggested to him to bring light on this matter that he should pack his swag and go down and sleep beside her. He's got a high media profile.
Yes.
He's sleeping there for a night or two beside this
how long
lady.
Do you reckon
would
I'd last?
Would bring attention to the situation, and then it'd be rectified.
So how long do you reckon I'd last if I did that?
You know what would happen then? It'd be a bit like Forrest Gump when he started running. Other people would join, and then 2 turns into 10, turns into 50, turns into 200, and then they will pack it up. So, Sam, get your swag, get your sleeping bag, and get down there.
I'm going to answer the question about why I didn't end up being part of the Lord Mayoral decision process. The very day... There's a week's grace given for the candidates to present themselves in person to the town hall. You can't do it on Zoom or Skype, or you have to present yourself to see that you are the bona fide person standing for mayor. The very week that I was meant to be there, Channel 9 sent me over to the Augusta Masters tournament for a week. I don't know if it was a coincidence or they were trying to not get me to be the Lord Mayor. And I was assured that if I stood for mayor for the mayor, I would become the mayor because they do deals. I don't do them, but they do deals with all the other parties and the Greens and the sex party and all that, and they give preference. You say, we'll do this for you. I was told that I had an absolutely very good chance of being the mayor, but I couldn't present myself on the day because I was overseas, and that disqualified me.
Well, Melbourne is all poorer for it, and I just don't think that you should give up on the hope. I think that there's a chance here. If Eddie runs the AFL, you run Melbourne, Don runs Hawthorn, then it's a triple whammy.
And you could come down and be our oversee the whole of our careers. Now, if you don't pinch the Grand Prix from us, that's fine. We won't try and take the Sydney to Hobart yacht race from you.
I love you, boys. I've got to run, but I'll talk to you in a fortnight.
Good boy.
Thanks, Doc.
See you, boys.
Right, now we're off. I think we're off. He didn't distort in the end, Don. He didn't.
Why didn't you press the
shut up?
Why didn't you press the closer?
Is he still on? What? Because we're not finishing. Is he still on? Christ!
Don't blaspheme. No, all right. God.
I don't think he's. Hang on. I don't think he's still on. I'm just turning Bluetooth off. So, I don't think he's still on. No. So he's very, very good stuff. This is very good stuff. Now, Don. We've got the magician coming in, so we're going to have a bit of a break, but we're going to finish on these final topics, if we're still on. I'm sure we're still on. I finished by saying, see, this is how I will get accused of being unsympathetic to homeless people. You must understand what I'm on about, Don, do you?
Yeah, I understand, but anyway, let's move on, and I think we've given that enough.
Righto. So here's my sporting input.
Now, can we have a little bit of sport?
Well, I'm giving you my sporting input, and then you do yours, because you've sorted through more notes there than I can jump over. I'm not interested in the football. I'm happy to say that. I'm glad if everyone is. If it's the most popular sport per capita in the world, it is. And if you are... But the only news I get about the football is what appears on the sports news when they read the news out and they say, and here's the sport for today. And they said people are up in arms, or I think they said that, about the umpires giving 50-metre penalties for players who know no more than put their hands in the air to dispute decisions. Didn't shout, didn't say anything. When they were given a kick, they just put their hands in the air as if to say, what the fuck's that for? But they didn't say that. They were given 50 metres, which changed the courses of the game.
Well, I watched it on because Geelong were playing Hawthorn, and I saw that on a number of occasions, and I cannot believe that the game has gone this far. And then for the head of football, Chris Scott, Brad Scott, to come out and say they're doing this, we will go harder on this because it has a reflection on junior football, the dissension of senior players. Consequently, they cannot get junior umpires to cover the local football or the junior football. Now, what he doesn't realise is we've just gone through COVID. It is hard to get people to even play football out in the suburbs because of COVID. They've found other things to do, and it would be the same with the umpires. Now, if they're using this as a means of attracting umpires, they've just lost complete touch. Now, this has gone on, and he, being a past player and was vocal himself in remonstrating with the umpire and showing his frustration after he had made a mistake. We've all done that. We all do that because we're trying so hard, because we're involved, and that shows how involved you are when you remonstrate because you're trying. I think it is absolutely ridiculous, and it's a reflection on society at the moment.
Nicely said, Don. So I didn't see this, so I tend to think I'm speaking from a position of ignorance. Oh, no, that wouldn't be unusual. If you put your arms in the air, stand on the mark, and you're given a free kick and you throw your arms in the air, you saying that's a reflection on underage football, and that's why people...
No, if you're to the side...
Cringeworthy can you get? And don't blame Chris Scott. The buck stops with the bloke at the top. If Gil McLaughlin is... Instead of having his head up his ass about...
Oh, hang on.
His head up his ass worrying about us chatting about whether Nicky Winmar, what he did 30 years ago out of Victoria Park, a absolutely sensible and feasible and logical discussion that saw Mick Sheehan drift away from this podcast because he couldn't stand the innuendo that he was been pilloried. If you got involved in actually things that might make the game better, if you can tell me that an umpire can't handle a man putting his arms in the, if these fully grown men playing football at the highest level, his arms in his air when not giving them the finger or turning around shouting at him, just showing what is that for, mate? You're living in an unreal world. And if the competition needs to be saved by this bullshit up our end of the spectrum, if that saves football down the bottom end, well, you're deluding yourself. Seriously deluding yourself. And that is the right. No one can give a stuff whether I go to the football or not. I would, if I went to the football and saw that happening, saw the first person get 50 metres and have a goal kicked against my side because a bloke put his arms in the air just to say, what's that for? Didn't even say that, didn't even mouth those words, just put it, I would leave, and that's why I don't go. I couldn't be less interested in a pissy game that is the game that's turned into a pissy little dabby crock of shit at the bottom of a small, insignificant country. It's bullshit. Don. No, that's all right. We're going to finish everything here. You got now, you all your papers here. You've got
okay.
Nine
now,
bits
there's
of
something
paper.
Else that came to my mind, having been past president of the player or president of the Players Association back in the 70s, and we started State of Origin the play, with the AFL. We were the first to start State of Origin, and the reason we started State of Origin was to get a premium to cover players with insurance. And from that, we insured the players with Lloyd's of London, which brought it into line with other leagues.
I was insured with Lloyd's of London.
And the AFL, the American footballers had their insurance policy, as did the soccer players in England. Now, we followed suit because there wasn't any insurance whatsoever. Now, this is back in the 70s. I cannot believe what I read yesterday, when a young rookie, by a former West Coast rookie, his name is Patrick Binns, who has now, or is fighting for compensation. Now, what he did to himself, it was a neck injury, which forced him out of the game. He is not covered in any way, shape or form under the insurance policy. And the players that played between a certain period, 2010, 2019, are not covered as well. I just think this is a disgrace as far as the AFLPA is concerned, that they didn't have an insurance policy that covered total disability.
Well, all I can say, Don, is that I put a claim. I don't know if this is along the same lines, but I put a claim in because I was told to. I was pleaded with to put a claim in. I had an ankle operation, which was due to football, and I said I don't like to ask the league to pay for it because, you know, I got myself into the game and it's my onus of response. And they said, no, we insist that you give us the...
That's what they do now, and it's a terrific policy. This is the AFLPA.
Yes.
They make up, as long as you've got private health, they will make up the balance, gap.
So they
do that, and they give that to all past players.
They did it to me.
But this is a different issue. This is
right.
Current players not covered. And
all right.
I think it's very, very wrong.
Right, Don, I'm going to... So do I. So, Don, I'm going to see if you find any humour in this. Or are you still sorting through the papers? Come on, what do you got?
Come on, smart ass.
No, because I'm going to finish on this, but I want to know if you got any more things there going.
I've got plenty, but we'll save them for next week.
Oh, well, so the things you've ripped out of the papers will save till next week, will they? Just give us one of them quickly.
Ash Barty.
Yes.
Now, I tried to bring this up before.
Well, go on, bring it up quickly.
And I said, as far as an athlete with a bat and ball, she is the most talented I've seen.
Yes.
I don't know whether she's a good runner, good swimmer.
Yes,
but
your
as
point.
An all, her point is...
Your she, point, not her
I
point.
I saw her play cricket, warming up
yes.
before the Australian Open. She could bat.
Yes.
She can bowl. Very coordinated. I saw a handball, the Australian rules football,
yes.
left and right hand.
Golf.
And also we see pictures of her playing golf. And she's going to go to America to play in a title over there.
What title? Golf title?
I think it's for sportsmen. Yes, celebrity sportsmen and other sports as well, and they get together and they have some thing. But she is probably the most coordinated athlete.
Well, she might make us all proud again if she rises.
Well, she won the women's championship at her golf club.
Good.
Did you realise that?
No. She might make us proud again internationally by being, you know, an indigenous person representing Australia overseas and going to the next level in any sport, Don. So that's good. So we're all for her and behind her, Don. Quickly, go ahead. Right. So do you think that... So this is... do you find this humorous? A bloke... a friend of mine took his missus, well, it was his wife, I think it was his wife, down to a resort just over the summer, and they checked in at the hotel and there, and he unpacked and put his case on the bed, and she went into the bathroom and to arrange all the toiletries and that, and she's a bit of a scream from the bathroom, and she came out, and she said, "What's wrong?" She said, "Go in the bathroom." So the bloke went in and there was a cockroach. He looked down at the floor as he entered the bathroom. There was a cockroach there. So he picked the cockroach up and he put it in a napkin. He took it down to the concierge down there. And he opened it. And the concierge...
Wouldn't he go to the manager?
Well, he went to the manager. The concierge, he was the only person...
He just picks your bags up as you get out of the car.
Yeah, he was the only person at the desk because it was 10 o'clock at night when they checked in. So
he's busy at 10 o'clock at night, the concierge, people coming in.
Okay. So probably I misspoke, Don. It wasn't the concierge, it was the night manager who could be...
You said you used the plural concierge. Well, there are more than one.
The concierge, who I think was doubling as the night manager at the time... could be one and the same thing.
He's talented.
So the bloke's got the cockroach wrapped up in the napkin and he opened it and he said, "Look." He said, "This is in the bathroom." And the night manager or the concierge or whoever the fuck was on the desk said, "Yes, but it's dead." And the bloke said, "Yes, I know it's dead, but there's 8,000 others of it up in the bathroom who've come to its funeral. Could we have another room?" Do you think that's funny?
No.
He said, "It is dead." He said, "But there's 8,000 of his friends at the funeral." Okay. Well, maybe you interrupted it. Maybe I didn't tell that properly. Anyhow, Don, it's been great, and I think it didn't distort after a while with...
I thought we
were...
Hang on. I thought we were being listened into. People.
It does. It's his phone. I turned mine on to aeroplane mode, and it stopped doing it. Maybe there's too much interference. I wouldn't even tell you what aeroplane mode is, Don. You have had enough time just putting it on mute. So we're going now, and I think we're going now, and then we're going to come back with Lucas Kogelki. Here we go, Don.
Just crazy about you, baby.